The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Managed to squeeze in an extra minute today, Rolien Marx.
It's a good thing because I just want to take a minute to acknowledge somebody very, very precious, somebody who we've lost. Such a joy, the consummate professional DJ Flo. You know, listeners may not know of just how extraordinary the team behind the scenes at Chai FM is, and he certainly was a massive part of it and a massive part of my everyday. And my condolences to his family, to his loved ones. He will be missed by me, and may his memory just be eternally blessed.
Amen to that, and thanks for that, Rolien. Thanks for that. Let's move on to Israeli news. Lots going on. Iran, Ambassador Erdan Kochavi, everybody's talking Iran. What is going on?
Well, everybody is talking Iran because I think we are girding ourselves for any kind of possibility. What has been very interesting to see, and a lot of us who are looking now at the incoming Biden administration and wondering, you know, where do we maneuver? It looks like they are adopting a policy of keep the Palestinians close, but keep Israel even closer. So I can confirm that the first call from the new Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, was to our Foreign Minister, Gabi Ashkenazi, to discuss issues in the region, in particular the threat posed by Iran, and hoping to widen the circle of peace. So that is very, very welcome news. And Blinken reportedly saying that the U.S. will not enter any treaty or any agreement with Iran until Iran take the first step. Now, they want to see Iran comply. And, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You know, when you look at this region, Western countries, I think where they fall short is they tend to look at the Middle East, expecting the Middle East to behave by Western rules. This is the Middle East. The rules of engagement are very, very different. I mean, here you've got Iran bragging that they've enriched enough uranium, and you can be sure it's not for some alternate to electricity. It is specifically to fulfill their threat, which is to try and wipe Israel off the map. And just a reminder that what starts with Israel in this region for them doesn't end with Israel. But while we're talking Iran, yesterday we discussed the fact that our chief of staff, Aviv Kochavi, will be meeting with the security cabinet to push for more budget should the IDF have to engage Iran, and all options are on the table. And Israel is in a state, or the IDF are in a state of always preparing for what could be some kind of clash. Now we cross to the United Nations, and our ambassador, who's doing double time as both the ambassador to the UN and to the USA, Gilad Erdan, he addressed the United Nations General Assembly just before we started to commemorate International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which was yesterday. And he warned of the dangers posed by Iran, saying, you know, this is a country that uses anti-Semitic language, denies the Holocaust, threatens to wipe Israel off the map, uses the same language that we heard just prior to the Shoah, where we lost 2/3 of European Jewry. He said that Iran must be noted as a threat, not just to Israel, but a threat to the entire region. And also reports coming in that those working closely with Prime Minister Netanyahu have said that he is going to want to avoid any kind of confrontation or any kind of clash with the Biden administration as far as the nuclear issue is concerned. And, you know, we are preparing. We do have our task force that is ready to engage with the Biden administration on all issues Iran related. All options are on the table for us. And, you know, we will be seeing how we move forward these next couple of weeks.
I hear you loud and clear, but I am noticing very definite steps taken by the American administration, and I'm not quite understanding what their game plan is. I read this morning that apparently they are looking to cancel the sale of the F-35s to the UAE. I mean, why are they capitulating to the Iranian demands without having received anything in return?
Well, this is a question, and one thing we also have to realize that the freezing of the F-35s has nothing to do with the Abraham Accords treaties. It won't affect them at all. But we are also asking the question, why have we seen this freeze in the sale? Is it capitulating to the Iranians? Is there perhaps something else going on that we don't know? But from our perspective, and we have to look at things from, you know, an Israeli perspective, how it affects us, we are relieved that it won't be affecting the accords that, you know, we've all worked so hard to build on these last couple of months.
Raleigh, Times of Israel reporting a wonderful headline this afternoon saying that your vaccines appear to be 92% effective. I mean, that is a remarkable stat. You must be very proud of yourselves.
We are very proud of ourselves. You know, Israel has taken a lot of flack over the past couple of weeks for being the world leader in the vaccination rollout. We know the issues of the accusations that we're not vaccinating Palestinians. We all know the arguments around that. But it has been found that the vaccine has been proven to be 92% effective in Israel. We are the first controlled trials outside of the laboratories. In fact, Israel's pretty much been one big laboratory for the entire world. You know, we've had discussions, you and I, whether or not we're invading people's privacy. We've heard from the Helsinki Ethics Board that, we were conducting a big experiment. But you know what? We are facing, or we're in the middle of a global pandemic where too many lives have been lost, and more every single day. And Israelis are quite proud of the fact that if we can be of any assistance to beating this virus, we're going to do that. And also just to remember that, you know, when you do give data to companies, it's not personal data. It's done in blocks. It's not, you know, everybody's going to see that Raleigh Marx had a vaccine and this is how she responded, et cetera, et cetera. No, it's done, you know, samples are taken and given to these companies. But very promising stats starting to come out of Israel. And Pfizer earlier today commenting that their vaccine is effective against both the South African and the British variants of coronavirus. Very important, because Israel is locking down our land borders with Egypt and Jordan. We're trying to stem any kind of spread of these two variants. You will know that we've hermetically sealed off our airspace. As we speak, the coronavirus cabinet is debating whether or not to take the recommendation from the health ministry to extend our lockdown by another week. The Blue and White Party have dug their heels in, saying they might not necessarily support it, and they want the fines for anybody who flouts the lockdown laws raised, which is an issue, because we have another vote coming up tonight, and that is whether or not to increase the amount of enforcement on people who are disobeying lockdown. And that is a very euphemistically way of accusing the ultra-Orthodox community, certain sects within that community, of being the main protagonists. There have been continued clashes. This is an issue that is becoming real cause for alarm as we progress. In fact, even as we get closer to the elections, a poll was taken and 61% of Israelis don't want a coalition with any kind of Haredi representation, which some could argue, will it do any good in trying to you know, build the trust between the community and the government. But this is the situation. We've even had one of the rabbis saying that if this continues to go, to get out of hand, we could be in a situation of a civil war. So we have to take very, very firm steps now.
In the time that's remaining, tell us about the new U.S. ambassador to the U.N. and why are you asking the question if she's going to follow in Nikki Haley's footsteps?
Well, you know, a lot of us think, is it possible to follow in the very, very stylish Welsh? I mean, you know I love a good shoe, Simon. Heels of the phenomenal Nikki Haley, who really, we call her Nikki, we call her Haley's Comet. She blazed the trail at the United Nations. But the potential ambassador, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, who hasn't been sworn yet, she addressed the Senate yesterday and she said that her pledge, should she be sworn in as the U.S. envoy to the United Nations, will be to fight inherent bias against Israel, to work for stability and Israel's security in the region, and to expand the growing circle of peace. And also, very tellingly, she addressed BDS, that's the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Movement. Are you listening, guys? We know you are. She said that their activities verge on anti-Semitism.
Raleen Marks, you took us to bang on 5:30. Thank you for that. Thank you for your input this week. And tell me you'll be back with me same time next week, all week.
Wild horses or technical issues couldn't drag me away.
There you go. Shabbat shalom to you. Thank you so much,
Shabbat
Raleen.
Shalom.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.